Morning. Usually when I speak, it's a little bit of a concern that I might go over, but according to the clock back there, it's just now 9:45, so I guarantee you we'll be out of here by 11:30. I don't know about the other kids here, or I guess the adults for that matter, but one of the most memorable stories for me when I was a child comes from Exodus chapter 3, and I want to read you a short passage from that story. Exodus chapter 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, this was Moses, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Could you imagine God speaking to you like this? This is why it was so memorable for me. Having a conversation with God. This was really the first of many times that God would speak to Moses. Moses, in fact, had regular conversations with God. The Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses as a friend would speak with a friend. You see, God spoke with Moses in a very special way. And so there's a question. Might God speak in this way to you? Even in the Bible, this kind of conversation between God and a man was especially unusual. But there are many people today who claim to have these kinds of conversations with God, or at the very least, assume to hear God speaking to them. And they expect that if you're a Christian, you should be having these same kinds of experiences, God speaking to you in an audible way. The purpose of my lesson this morning is not to diminish or minimize God's ability to speak to us, but rather give us a biblical and realistic perspective on how God might be communicating with us today. And so that's the question. How does God communicate with the human race? How has He done it in the past? And how should we expect God to be speaking to us now? The reality is God absolutely is speaking to us. God does speak to us. He continues to speak to us. Even if you're not a Christian, God is speaking to you. Even if you're not listening, God is speaking to you. God absolutely does speak to us. So how has He done it, and how does He continue to do it today? So first, how God has spoken, at least in the past. First, God has spoke for Himself. On a few occasions, God spoke audibly, noticeably, to various individuals. We already mentioned how God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and then on many more occasions, God spoke with an audible voice and had conversations with Moses. God also spoke to Adam and Eve. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned and they were attempting to hide from God, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? Could you imagine God saying that to you? Where are you? God also spoke to Elijah. Remember this story from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And behold, the Lord passed by. Elijah was hiding in a cave. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the strong wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? God spoke to Moses. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Elijah. You also remember in the New Testament that God spoke from heaven concerning Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, at the baptism of Jesus, God said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This was a real voice, God's voice, speaking from heaven about Jesus. And then later in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, at the transfiguration of Jesus, God spoke from heaven again and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. So there have been times where God spoke for Himself. There was no mediator. There was no in-between. It was God's voice speaking to the human race. This was not the most common way that God would speak. There's lots of other ways that God has spoken. God has also spoken through prophets. God put His words in the mouths of men. And that's what a prophet was, in the mouths of men and women, as a matter of fact. David said of himself in 2 Samuel 2, verse 23, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue." That's what a prophet was. The words of God were in the mouth of a man or a woman, and those words were on their tongue. The writers of the Bible should also be considered prophets. And so was any man or woman who was ever compelled by God to speak the words of God. Think about Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke to the human race by prophets. Prophets sometimes told of future events, but prophecy is really just telling a truth that comes from God about a thing that only God could know. Prophecy is not just about foretelling, but also forthtelling. Telling a truth. Telling something, giving a message from God that only God can give. And sometimes He used prophets as mediators. There's another way that God has spoken in the Bible that is especially interesting, and I don't know all the details of this or entirely what to make of it, but God has also spoken through His Spirit. And you might be thinking, well, of course God speaks through His Spirit. The Bible is inspired by God. It's given by the Spirit of God. But that's not what I'm talking about. If we go to Acts chapter 8, verse 29, there's a few examples here of how God spoke through His Spirit. The Spirit Himself spoke audibly, clearly, with real words that are actually quoted in the Bible. And this was God's Spirit speaking. The first example is Acts chapter 8, verse 29. "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.'" The Spirit gave Philip very specific instructions. Go near to this chariot and overtake this chariot. There's at least two more examples in the book of Acts where the Spirit speaks like this. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" Can you imagine this experience for Peter? Not only has he just seen this vision from God, where God communicates with him, here, after the vision, the Spirit of God speaks to him. I don't think this was just an intuition that arrived in Peter's mind. Otherwise, why would the Bible actually quote the Spirit? I think the Spirit spoke in an audible, or I guess perhaps audible, but certainly in a clear way with words that were obviously quotable because we find them quoted in the Bible. "Three men are seeking to you." This was more than just an intuition. Exactly, three men are seeking you. Followed by specific instructions. Go, find them, go with them, don't doubt, because the Spirit said to him, "I have sent them." And then a third time in the book of Acts, this time in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. This is at the time when Paul and Barnabas are consecrated and set apart as evangelists for the church at Antioch. And here again we have another example where the Holy Spirit speaks with real, quotable, audible words to the congregation. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. "The Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" We don't know exactly how they heard these words. I guess it could be argued that maybe one of the prophets there conveyed these words. But in most of these cases here in the book of Acts, it sounds like the Spirit Himself was speaking on behalf of God, because the Spirit is God. So God spoke for Himself. God spoke through prophets. God, at some points, spoke through His own Holy Spirit. God also spoke through angels. Think back to what Eric has studied with us in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the words spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So his point here is, we've now heard the gospel from the Lord himself, but if the word spoken through angels was sure, how much more certain is the word today? There were times where God delivered his message through angels. There are several examples of this in the Bible. It was not especially common, but when it did happen, it was not subtle, and it certainly wasn't a quiet event. Remember that there was an angel that delivered a message to Balaam. That was the story where Balaam was riding on his donkey. The donkey stopped in the road, and Balaam started beating the donkey, and eventually it turned out that there was an angel standing in front of the donkey, and the angel had a message for Balaam. Angels, an angel, also spoke on numerous occasions concerning the birth of Jesus and concerning the birth of John the Baptist. Angels spoke to Joseph, to Mary, to Elizabeth, to Zacharias. Angels also spoke to the shepherd and told them about the coming Jesus. So God certainly has spoken through angels on various occasions. God also, in the past, has spoken to his people in dreams and visions. The person that came to my mind initially was Joseph. Joseph received many messages from God in the form of dreams. The life of the prophet Daniel was filled with dreams and visions that apparently were so vivid and so terrifying on some occasions that they were debilitating. Debilitating visions of things that were to come. That was Daniel's experience. God even communicated with King Nebuchadnezzar with dreams. It was interesting. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he knew that dream had a spiritual meaning. But he didn't know what it was. He didn't know what the meaning was, but he knew it must have had a meaning. And so he sought out individuals to help tell him the dream and give him the meaning. And of course, in the New Testament, God's plan of salvation for the Gentiles was revealed to Peter through a vision. Sometimes dreams are called night visions in the Bible. But absolutely, God at times has spoken to his people through visions and dreams. And we have that message recorded for us in the Bible. So those are ways that God has spoken to us. The question that has to be asked, though, is how is God speaking to us today? Might we ever find ourselves listening to the voice of God himself? Is it possible that God will send us another prophet and send us a message through that prophet? Is it possible that God will speak to us through his Spirit, using a clear, audible voice? Is it conceivable that God again would send one of us an angel to bring us a message? Is it possible that you might have a dream that has a spiritual meaning? I think these are important questions to ask because it happened in the Bible. And there are many people today who claim to have experiences like this. So could this be happening to you? And if it did happen, would we be listening? So how does God speak today? I think there's a more important, a better way to ask this question. Not is God speaking today, because certainly he is speaking today. And not just how will God speak today, but I like to ask the question like this. How does God tell us he will speak to us today? That's the original question. What should our expectations be? We know God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, but should that be your expectation? Should that be your expectation that you'll have some incredible, unbelievable event in your life, and God will draw you to that and he'll speak to you through it? Is that possible? Well, certainly it's possible, but should that be expected? Should you be waiting for events like that? What should be our realistic biblical expectation of how God will speak to us? Not necessarily how God can speak to us, but how he will speak to us. Because here's the reality. God can communicate with the human race however he wants to. God can speak to us however he wants to. But how has he decided to? I think there is reason to believe that God has, by design, not by his own limitations, but by his own design, limited the number of ways that he will speak to his people. And that's a good thing, because we can limit our expectations. So the first way that God tells us that he will be speaking to us is, of course, and most importantly, through his word, through the scriptures, through the Bible. God speaks to us through the Bible. Before I make my comments on this, I think this is really good to have this perspective. What if God wrote you a letter and sent it to you in the mail? What if God wrote you a note and left it for you on your pillow? How special would that be to you? How seriously would you take that message? Extremely seriously, right? Well, God did that. God did that. And so how seriously should we take this message? God speaks to us. He has spoken and continues to speak to us through the written word. This is the most important, the most consistent, and the most reliable way that God speaks to us. If you ever question if God is speaking to you, you can be sure that he is speaking to you through the Bible. All scripture is from the breath of God. You remember this passage, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is from the breath of God. Scripture is God-breathed. God is speaking to you through his Spirit, through the Bible. And so if we want to hear God speak, read the Bible, because that's God speaking to you. Peter says something similar in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This perspective is extremely important. There are lots of people who dismiss the writings of the Bible because they think it came through men, because they think it came through human beings. They dismiss the writings of Paul because they perceive Paul as being a bigot, because they perceive Paul as being a sexist. Paul put the pen to paper, but it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit does not diminish or undermine the value of perspectives that we see in the Bible, personalities that we see in the Bible, but ultimately the Bible comes by the mind of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This message comes from God, and we should regard it in that way as God's message to us. I've said already that this is the most important, most consistent, and most reliable way that God speaks to us, but this certainly is not the only way that God speaks to us. Here's another example. God also speaks to us through the creation. This is exactly what the psalmist David said in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The creation has a voice, and God is speaking to us through the voice in his creation. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Isn't that interesting? And isn't that true? The creation has a voice. And like he says in verse 3, there is no language where the voice of creation is not heard. There is no language where the voice of creation is not heard. Every human being that has the ability to experience creation has heard and continues to hear the voice of God. The first time I went to the ocean was when I was 23 years old. I guess I was 22, almost 23 years old. And it was only then that I understood just how impressed people were by that. Then I understood why all of these songs about God include references to the ocean. Seeing that constant mighty motion of the ocean, it's like the respirations of God. You can feel God when you're at the ocean. The endless, unbelievable energy in the ocean. You feel the same way when you're in the mountains. And you know that even though you're standing in the mountains, you still have no concept of the perspective there. That is God speaking to us. And we should listen to that. Observing God's creation is the constant reminder that He is, that He wants us, that He wants to be with us, that He loves us, and that He wants us to be drawn to Him. There is a voice in creation, and we should listen to that voice. God tells us also that He's spoken to us through His own Son. Remember again Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And of course, where do we find these words? Where do we find the words of Jesus, the Son of God? They're encapsulated in the Bible. If you want to hear the message, if you want God to speak to you through His own Son, through the manifested human God, then read the Bible. Those words are encapsulated in the Bible. And so today, God speaks to us through the Bible. He continues to speak to us through His creation. He speaks to us through His Son. And God still speaks through us through His Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. But how does He do that? How does God speak to us through the Holy Spirit? Will He speak to us by His Spirit in the same way that He spoke to the churches and to individuals in the book of Acts? Will He do that? Or will He do it some other way? Well, we have some clues in the Bible about how He will do this. Seven times in the book of Revelation, this phrase is used. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And what was the context of those seven times where God uses that phrase? It was in the letter that Jesus inspired the Apostle John to write to the churches. He was talking about the written word. When he said, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches, he was talking about the letter that was being delivered to the churches, the message that John himself put to paper and sent to the churches of Asia. God wants you to hear this message, which is for you. And so you've got to read the Bible. If you want to hear God's message for the churches, you have to read the Bible. I sometimes wonder why people hope for God to send them a prophet or some private message when God has already sent us this book that so many people really haven't read. Why would God send us another message if we don't yet appreciate and if we haven't yet heard the message that's here? So God continues to speak to us through His Spirit, through the Bible. But there's other ways that the Spirit speaks as well. And it's very important that we listen to the Spirit in these other ways. The Spirit speaks to us by giving us clarity. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, God promises you that you've received His Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is living inside of you, and by that Spirit, you have an ability to understand things that no one else can understand, that people without His Spirit cannot understand. When you read the Bible, you're given the ability to understand the Bible in a way that people who don't have the Spirit cannot understand the Bible. And I believe this is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're a Christian, you have God's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you clarity. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, in a sense, by helping you to understand the Bible in a way that other people may not be able to understand the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this is verses 11 through 14. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? He's saying, in other words, you understand human things because you are a human. And you can't understand human things unless you are a human. And then he compares that to spiritual things. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You can't know godly things unless you have the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. So all of these truths have been given to us by God, but you can know them because you have the Spirit of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so the Spirit continues to speak to you today, but probably not with audible, quotable words like He spoke in the book of Acts, but rather with an awareness of spiritual things that would otherwise be hidden from a carnal nature. That's how the Spirit speaks to us, by giving us clarity, by helping us to see things and understand things that we might not otherwise have the ability to understand. And so God doesn't promise you that we should be waiting around expecting God to whisper a message in our ear. Could He do that? Yes. But that's not what He tells us He's going to do. What He tells us He's going to do is give us understanding and wisdom through the indwelling of His Spirit. He speaks to us in the sense that He helps us to know. There's another way that God speaks through His Spirit. You'll have to follow with me on this thought for a minute, but consider what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit, and then he says in verse 19, "Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So be filled with the Spirit, and implied in that is what he says in the next verse. Be filled with the Spirit, and then speak to one another, using spiritual songs. When we allow the Spirit to work in us and we don't resist His influence on us, even our singing can be, in a sense, God speaking to us and through us. When we sing songs that are by the inspiration of God, or at least on spiritual things. And you might be wondering, well, how does that work? How could God speak to me through a song? An example of this is Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, God inspired a song. God has inspired lots of songs, really. The entire book of Psalms includes songs that we sing. Many of the songs that we sing are literally inspired by God because those words, not the melody, but those words came from God. And so certainly we're speaking the words of God. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, there's another song that God inspired. And the purpose of that song was so that when they sang it, they would be convicted. So they would hear God speaking to them and be reminded of sin and turn from it. So let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 19. "Now therefore," God said to Moses, "write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel, when I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat. Then they will turn to other gods and serve them." So in other words, they're going to fall away. "And they will provoke me and break my covenant." Verse 21, "Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants, for I will know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land which I have swore to give them." So God knew that they would go bad. God knew that they would turn from Him. And so He wrote a song so that when they would sing it, they would be convicted in the hope that they would turn back to God. And so God does the same thing today. That is the purpose of music today. We teach each other, we admonish each other through song, and to an extent, that is God's Spirit speaking to us. If you're singing a song and it convicts you in some way, if it reminds you of something spiritual, if it reminds you of some job that you've forgotten to do, or if it reminds you of some person you've neglected, listen to it. Listen to what the Spirit compels you to do. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to give you a specific job to do. God's going to give you a specific task. But just like this song that Moses recorded on behalf of God, it convicted them. It reminded them to be spiritual people. And that is the purpose of music in the church today. To convict us, to compel us, to motivate us, to remind us of our spiritual responsibilities, to remind us of our obligations to God. And so, let the music speak to you. That's the point. Let the music speak to you. And if we're not listening, it doesn't do us any good. If we're not listening, it doesn't do us any good. I'm convinced that God definitely is speaking to us, even when we're not listening. Even if we don't believe in Him, even if a person doesn't even acknowledge that God exists, God certainly is still speaking. God speaks through His creation. God speaks through His Word. On rare occasion, God spoke by angels, by dreams, by the audible voice of His Holy Spirit. God is still speaking today, but we should use caution in our expectation. God doesn't promise you that He's going to speak to you through an angel. God doesn't guarantee you that He's going to whisper a message to you through the audible voice of His Holy Spirit. But what God does promise you is that He will speak to you through the Bible. God guarantees you that if you're listening, He will speak to you through His creation. God tells you, if your heart is in it, He will speak to you through His Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. All that God has to say, He has said. And so listen to Him. Find His voice. Hear God's message. Let Him speak. Listen to the voice of creation. Listen to His voice in the Bible. And do not grieve His Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit clarify things for you. And hear the voice of God through our music. I hope the lesson today was valuable to you. It was certainly valuable to me. There's so many people in the world that just want God to tell them what to do. How many times have you heard someone say that? They just want God to tell them what to do. God will tell you what to do, but you've got to find His voice. His voice is in creation, and His voice, most clearly, most consistently, most reliably, is in the Bible. If you want to know God's message for you, first read the Bible, and then listen for His Spirit, and listen to Him in creation. If you have any need today, if God has compelled you to obey His message, the gospel message, if you want to join with His Spirit through the waters of baptism and have your sins washed away, you've got that opportunity now as we stand and sing.